Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4 one more time. 1 John chapter 4. And since I have plenty of time, I'll just read the whole thing again. Just now the first six verses. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now I'm going to stop right there. As I started last week, don't believe everything you hear. Now that's good advice in life. And it's definitely good advice even if you just watch television. But as far as when it comes to the Spirit of God and to the truth of Jesus Christ and to people who declare themselves to be knowledgeable of it, we are to try these spirits to see whether they are of God. That's our instruction from the Apostle John to us, and it's actually the same instruction from others. But he put it rather nicely here in the beginning. Believe not every spirit. Don't believe everything you hear. And he tells us why. Because there's many false prophets. 2,000 years ago, there were many false prophets. There aren't any less now. As a matter of fact, I pretty much believe there's more. Just on the sheer virtue of the fact that there are more people. And I talked about a little bit about what it to try the spirit and what spirit, and it means preachers, it means witnesses, it means yourself, it means me. What I say is not to be believed unless it's in accord with this word, with this book right here, and that means right now. The reason I talked with Walter a little bit about this last week after the service. The reason I got onto this verse here and trying the spirits had to do with, of all things, a church sign. That's a form of trying the spirits because they're putting that message out in public for everybody to see. And I think, was it Jim said, McLarity said that they're just advertising their ignorance. Walter said it, Merle said it, and I say it. A lot of times that's what it is. They are advertising their ignorance with a billboard in front of their church, if not by putting the name Free Will on top of it. But Debbie and I were driving through Princeton, and we came around the corner, and there was a sign. It's right in front of the church. And it had written on it this. It had written, Abraham was justified by faith and works. It didn't stop there. It said, not faith alone. And that hit me as I drove by, and I thought about it, and I pondered on it. Well, see, this is a tricky one. Because there is a scriptural piece of evidence behind that sign. And if you would, turn to James chapter 2. And verse 21, and I want to read that. Because this is one that a lot of people have seemed to have a lot of problems with. And I was one of them. James chapter 2 and verse 21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Verse 24 says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. I've had people quote this scripture to me for this expressed intent. See, you can't have faith without works. That's true. That's true. This is a truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the faith of God's elect. But those who misuse this scripture, we'll speak about how works are needed to make faith perfect. And by perfect, they mean perfect. The word perfect here in this verse by James is complete. The complete. It's not talking about sinless. It's not talking about perfection. It's talking about completeness. Now, the faith given by God to the child of God by the Holy Spirit through the work of Christ, that faith is perfect. It's my believing that's imperfect. I'm imperfect. The faith that God gives is perfect. It is perfect, it is complete, it is whole, and it is holy. Works are not needed to make the faith of God's elect perfect. Works are necessary, and I say that, necessary, as a result of that faith. Works show others our faith. This answer is seen in John 17:20. James, just back up about four verses to James 17. 2:17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. James was not writing here of showing God our faith by our works. James is not writing here of our faith being finished by our works. By any stretch of the imagination, he was not saying that. James was saying, because of my faith, I have works. And he's not showing God, he's showing somebody else. A man says, I'll show you my faith by my works. I can't show you my faith. I can't show my faith. God gave it to me, but he put it inside me. I can't take it out and say, here it is. But by works, you can see. You can see. If you're a believer. Because the world heareth not us. The world doesn't hear us. That's the context of this scripture. James is writing here to let us know something, that there is, if there is no results, no works, it is because there is no cause. The faith of God's elect. That's what he's talking about here. And I know some people, what Martin Luther said one time about thinking James ought to be taken out of the Bible because of this bit. I know it vexed him for a while. I hope he got the hold of it, because I've heard people preach on it, and I have heard some pretty awful messages. I mean, just plain awful. But when you realize, by context, what James is saying, it makes sense. I'm not showing God anything. I'm not making my faith perfect. I'm showing that the fact that God has given me faith, which is perfect, that I work. Now, that's another question, because you want to get into, because my works and the works of this book are not the same works as what's out in the world. By a long shot. I mean, it's not even close. But the answer to this question, who is James showing his works to from this scripture, is two words. Not God. He's not showing God his works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. It's a big misunderstanding, if you want to put it that way. Or it's a big resting of the scriptures, where people think that by our works we are perfecting, making perfect our faith. And it comes from the fact, and I've been there, where preachers will preach and have preached for decades now, that God has given everybody faith. Now, it's what you do with it that makes the difference. And that's where they get this. Well, see, that it takes your works to make your faith perfect. No. It takes faith to let you have works that God will accept. Because it is God that works both in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It comes from him, any acceptable works. Any acceptable works comes from the faith. It's a result of the faith. It is not a cause of anything. It is a result. No one anywhere in the Bible has ever shown anything to God by his works. You won't find it. You won't find that God showed anyone favoritism because of their works. However, throughout the Old Testament, and certainly throughout the New, you will find where people have done works because of God's purpose, because God gave it to them to do the work. It's a result. James is saying we are to show each other, brethren, our faith by our works. He is not teaching works for salvation, or he is not teaching works for justification before God. He's not teaching it before God, and that will come into play a little bit later. What brought about these statements from James? What works was James writing of that would show another believer, not an unbeliever, his faith? The context of this book. Verse 14, James chapter 2. We just keep backing up. Sometimes you got to back up to see what somebody's talking about. What doth it profit, my brethren? Who? My brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? James is writing about the family of God here. Taking care of your brothers and sisters. That's what he's talking about. And if you say, I hope y'all feel better, and you don't give your brother or your sister something they need for the body when you have it, that's not works. That's not good. That's not loving your brother and sister. It's not. We are to take care of each other. That's what we're here for. Love one another as Christ loved his church. Taking care of the family, being needful, giving them things that are needful for the body, that's the commandment of Jesus to us. Of Christ to us. James is teaching that there are works because the faith given by God is unto good works. Just like Paul wrote and Walter preached on a couple weeks there ago. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So what James is saying is if you're not walking in them, the good works, if you're not walking in them, if you're not loving the brethren, if you're not loving your sisters, if you're not doing something for them, if they need it, even if it's only encouragement when they're depressed or they're unhappy or they're sad, whatever. What James is saying is you're not his workmanship. You got the cause. And then you have the result. We are his workmanship. Believers are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And he has ordained that we should walk in them. And he gives us both the will and to do of his good pleasure. So if you don't love the brethren, you're not his workmanship. If you're not his workmanship, you don't have his faith. And that's what James is saying. That's all James is saying. If you don't have the results, it's because you don't have the cause. It's not because of a lack of results, the cause is of none effect. That's the way the world preaches it. exactly backwards. Upside down, turned around and twisted on the way. And then they'll say, "You're saved by grace, Mason." I've heard them do it. You come up here and pray the prayer, God will save you by grace. That's not grace, that's works. If he's not the reason you're praying, that's works. Now, if he causes you to pray, that's a result. And that's a good result. If he causes you to work, that's a good work. But see, this is where that statement on that sign came from. Abraham was justified. And if they left it that way, I'd have been happy with it. If they just said that Abraham was justified by faith and works, leave it there. Leave it there. That's not a bad statement. But they had to put that little thing at the bottom, not faith alone. They had to put that in there. And the reason they put that in there in that place was to make me mad. I swear it's what. That's what this sign, I'm pretty sure this sign was trying to say. You have to have faith and works in order to be justified before God. Because I know what they teach at that place. I know what's preached at that place. They think you can be justified, or you have to be justified before God by your works and your faith. Because he gave faith to everybody. That can't be enough. And some of them are bold enough to say that. I've heard them repeat this. God's done all he can do, and now it's up to you. Well, you're dead. If God's done all he can do for you, you're dead. If you're not saved then, you never will be. Because it is God that saved, and his arm is not short that it cannot save. But I've heard them repeat that. I've heard it on television. I've heard it on the radio. I've heard it in person. God's done all he can do, now it's up to you. That's a lie. That's a lie. Because, if you would turn to Romans chapter 4, this is where I went. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. And here we also find the subject of Abraham. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. What's that next statement say? But not before God. Now, James and Paul here, right in this book of Romans, are both talking about Abraham. They're both talking, they use the word, it's translated justification. Justified. But we have to read a little more to hear Paul's context. Verse 2 said, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Abraham, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." Somebody owes you something if you work. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly," and that's us, and it was Abraham, "his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's where I need to be, right there. That's where I need to be. And by his grace, that's where I am. Now, was Paul saying that Abraham didn't work? No. But righteousness was imputed without works. Works come after. Works are a result. James and Paul agree. They're talking about two different subjects. You're using the word justified, but you're talking about being justified before man. You're talking about being justified before God. Paul says it plainly here, and this is exactly what I said as we went around that corner where that sign was, and I read it, because I read out loud to Debbie as I drive, that Abraham was justified by faith and works, not faith alone. And I looked at Debbie and I said, not before God. Not before God. And that is what the world thinks. They can be justified before God, and they're justified by their faith and their works, and then they have righteousness imputed. And that's not what Paul says, and it's not what James said either. Because James was talking about something completely different. In the proper context, that's not a bad billboard. It's not a bad sign. But in the context that most people understand that word justified, that's a bad sign. I suspect they were wresting the scriptures to their own destruction. Abraham's works spoken of here were obeying the word of God. And in James, we don't have any mention of Abraham's other works. You know, that one where he told that king that Sarah was his sister? He didn't bring that part up. That's not what... That wasn't a result of faith. That was a result of Abraham in fear. I'm not bringing up my bad works to show you my faith. Part of what my works are is the fact that I show up here every week when I can. That I do not forsake the assembling of myself together with you guys. And part of your works is that you do not forsake the assembling of yourself. And that you love the gospel, that you love each other, you love the brethren, even those we've met from other places, because they know the same Christ that has been revealed to us. That makes them our brethren. And the way that is shown is that they support the gospel. They show up. And there's just a little bunch here, there's a little bunch down in North Carolina, there's a little bunch here, and a little bunch there, a little bunch there, a little bunch there, a little bunch there. But if the truth of God is preached, if Christ is preached, I'd like to be there. Because I like to hear about him. That takes the work of God. Because the world won't hear it. The world won't have it. Because the world doesn't want it. But I want it. And I'll hear it. And I'll go on the internet sometimes looking for it. Our works never justify ourselves to God. We can show each other our faith by what we say and what we do, as it pertains to the brethren, the family of God. I need to be blessed. And I need God to impute righteousness to me without works. And I need to be that man whom the Lord will not impute sin. You want to know why? Because of sin. I sin. And no, I'm not picking on you guys. You guys sin too. I sin every day. This is one of the best places in the scriptures that I've run across, and I love, because in verse 25 of chapter 3, you will see whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. And there are people who will take that verse and run with it straight into the dumpster. And they say, oh yeah, but they don't take care of future sins. Oh, you got to be holy. Keep reading. Blessed is the man whom God will not impute sin to. That's his people. Those are the ones Christ is not ashamed to call brethren. The Lord will not impute sin to them because Jesus Christ took in himself their iniquity. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of, not all, us all. That's good stuff. The Lord laid on him. He took it willingly, lovingly. He became sin for us who knew no sin. And God's wrath was poured out on him. And God's wrath is not going to be poured out on his people, because it was poured out on his people in Christ. All sins, past, present, and future, have been paid for, because I believe, and this book teaches, that Jesus did pay it all. All the debt I owed, and all the debt I owe, and all the debt I will owe. And blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I don't need any help with sinning. I need help with imputation. What I need is for God to work in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure, just like he did for Abraham. No difference. Now, that's kind of what I mean by trying the spirits. And that's what happens to me when I read one of them signs on the side of the road, sometimes. I get fired up. Well, it's advertising. And I believe in truth in advertising. And there ain't no truth there in most places. And I believe that actually is a willing, deliberate attempt to mislead people as to what the truth of God is. I believe that's what they were doing. Now, they may be sincere. A lot of people don't know this. You can lie sincerely. You can lie sincerely. Now, you can lie falsely. You can lie for money. You can lie for power. You can lie for, well, you know, darn near anything. But there are people who sincerely believe that you have to do something in order to get saved. That doesn't make it not a lie. That just makes it sincere. it may make it a more palatable lie for a lot of people. Why? Because the world heareth them. And it upsets me. I'm going to quit here in a little bit. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Back in 1 John 4 again, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. That is a wonderful statement. Because there is the implication to be drawn that you can know the Spirit of God. A man can know the Spirit of God if he's the blessed man. If he's Christ's workmanship, created unto good works. We can know the Spirit of God. Now it does say ye. It doesn't say everybody. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And boy, that's a whopper of a statement right there. And go back to that ordination thing that Earl was at, he told us about. They were ordaining a young preacher. And yes, I'll tell this story again, because Earl told it and I liked it. I'll tell you. And I told it and I like it. Because it is so pertinent to this world. There's a man there being ordained as supposedly a preacher of Jesus Christ. And Earl's buddy asked him the question. Now, I don't know how many people were on the panel or nothing. Earl's buddy asked him the question, who is Jesus Christ? And the guy said, I don't know what you mean. And Earl looked at his buddy, and his buddy looked at Earl, and it's like, okay, this ordination's over. But that is the kind of preachers that are out there sometimes. It's indicative of the state of this world that there are religious organizations out there that will ordain someone as a minister who cannot answer the question, who is Jesus Christ? He's the Son of God. He is God. He is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And He still is God, seated at the right hand of the Father. It's not a hard question if you want to be a preacher. You might actually should learn the answer to that before you start. But of course, Earl didn't vote for him, and neither did his fella, but everybody else did. The guy got ordained. I don't know. The world will hear him. And they won't hear us. There was a fella preaching. And now, as far as I know, this guy's, he was way out there, okay? And some other people recognized that he was out there. But he was in a place preaching. And somebody from the audience asked him a question. Do you believe Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh? Do you believe Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh? And the guy answered, and he said, why in the world are you talking about? And then he asked him several times, and the guy told him, get away from here. Don't bother me. Well, the answer is yes. That's all you have to say. I don't know why this guy didn't. Well, I have theories, but that's something else entirely. There are a lot of people who believe, I'm going to quit with this, there are a lot of people who believe in Jesus. There are a lot of people who know Jesus. But this is Jesus, the Christ, Christos, the Messiah. The one this whole book is written about. Now, do you believe this Christ in this Bible is come in the flesh? That's the question. And a lot of people can't answer it because they don't know the Christ of this book. They know the Christ of their imagination. They know the Christ they've heard of at church. They know the Christ they've seen in the movies. They know, you know, Charlton Heston played Moses. They made a golden calf. You know the Bible stories from the little books. But unless you know the Jesus Christ of this book, and that this God, a very God, was made flesh and dwelt among us and took upon himself the sins, all of the sins of all of his people, and paid the price to God and offered his own blood to God as an offering for sin to God for us, you don't know the Christ of God. This is the Jesus Christ that came in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word. He stopped there if you want to. But the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld him. And men hated him. And tried to kill him more than once. They did, by wicked hands, crucify and slay him in the fullness of time. And by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, when it was time. That's the Christ. He willingly went and willingly gave himself for us, his people, whom he chose before the foundation of the world, and he redeemed his people with his offering to God. And by that offering, Jim McClary said, we are perfected forever. I love that. In Hebrews 9, when I first read that, it's just, man, it's just, by one offering, we're sanctified, set apart. Then it goes on a few, by one offering, we're perfected forever. That's redemption. That's what Christ did. The Christ of this book, the Christ of this Bible, perfected forever. That is a good statement. And because of that, we work. We work. We assemble. We love the brethren. We do what we can with what we got. That's all we can do. And that is his work. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. Lord, most of all, we're thankful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, a very God, who did take upon himself all our sins and iniquities and paid the price we could not pay. He died the death we could not survive. And now, through him, by your Spirit, you have given your people life and translated us into your kingdom, the kingdom of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.